Thank you, Natalie. I tell you what, you'll never be the same if you know the Lord. And the good part is He knows us. He knows our name. Amen. Got another prayer request here we didn't have a while ago. Brother Lynn Hart is saying that you're going to have a heart cath. Where you at, Lynn? Are you here? All right, there you are. That's going to be Thursday? All right, well, we'll be praying for you there and hope it turns out real good. Amen. All right, tonight we got a treat, special treat, one I've been looking forward to for a long time. We have Brother Scotty Drake going to bring the message tonight. And I've hesitated a while because I knew he would do it if I asked him, but I didn't want to ask him until I felt like he'd gotten strong enough. And I know some of our folks are beginning to feel the call of the wild to go back north, and they wanted to hear Brother Scotty before they left. So I asked him this morning if he might feel like preaching to us tonight, and he agreed to. And I consider it a miracle to have him come up here tonight. It wasn't that long ago that he was just right at heaven's door, and we were just begging God to let him stay with us. Amen. And we're glad the Lord did. Brother Scotty, you come on. God bless you.
You, Pastor. God bless you, sir. All right. I can't say enough about how much I appreciate all of you folks praying for me. And, you know, I knew I had some enemies, but lo and behold, I found out I had a lot of friends. I've got a stack of get-well cards, and people from overseas, everywhere else, sending me emails, get-well cards. And so I found out I wasn't as bad as I thought I was. So anyway, I appreciate all of you praying for me, and I appreciate Pastor. And I've said it the other night when I gave a testimony, what a blessing it was to look up and see his face time after time after time after time. And it was just a real blessing, and I was encouraged. Pastor, and I want to thank you, and I'll never forget you. God was good. Now, he announced that he asked me to preach this morning. I said, Pastor, I said, these people are coming to hear you preach. He said, listen, I want you to preach. He said, I want you to preach. I said, well, I know they come to. He said, I want you to preach. And so I said, well, okay. Barbara's brother lives up in Georgia, and when he comes down to visit, he comes to the church here, and he brags on the church, brags on the preacher. And I was talking to him here not long ago, and he said, you know, if you ever get to preach at Landmark, you ought to do it, because he can always bail you out. So that preacher can bail you out if you get in trouble. So preacher, you better get ready to bail me out if I get in trouble. And I kind of feel like the guy. I used to work at the state, and we had a sergeant on the highway patrol. His name was Whitey Knutson, never forget it. And he told a story about chasing this guy down the road, and he caught him, and he was speeding, and he pulled him over, gave him a ticket. And the guy looked at him and said, you're going to give me that ticket? He said, yeah. He said, didn't you see that Greyhound bus go around me? He said, yeah, I saw it. What about it? He said, well, why didn't you stop him and give him a ticket? He said, have you ever tried to catch a Greyhound bus? That's about the way I feel tonight. I'll never forget being up in Tabernacle Baptist Church. And Dr. Harold Seidler, who I feel like one of the greatest preachers of our day, Pastor, I'd snuck in the back and was sitting back there, and he didn't see me. And he got up and he announced at the end of the service, now be back tonight, he had that gravelly voice. Be back tonight, I'm going to preach on Jesus. And man, the place went wild. I mean, they were shouting and raising their hands and waving their handkerchiefs and camp meeting like, and he was just a great preacher. And so he caught me and he says, I want you to preach tonight. I said, no, not after that. I said, you've already announced you're going to preach on Jesus. He said, no, you're going to preach. So I preached, and when he announced it, I could just almost see the people just... And Pastor, that's about the way I feel. We love you, brother. God bless you, and we love your ministry. If you will, please, I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 16, and we're going to read a few verses here. Now, I'll just tell you this. I'm not preaching on hell tonight, although I have preached on hell a few times, but not tonight. But I'm going to use this scripture for just to kind of encourage you a little bit, maybe. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19, it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, Moreover, the dogs came and licked his wound. And it came to pass that the bear died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, big in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I want you, the key verse tonight, what I'm going to speak to you about, is verse number 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Folks, I want you to know God cares about poor people. I mean, you read the Bible, you'll find out that if you take care of the poor, he'll answer your prayers. The Bible says you lay up treasures in heaven when you take care of the poor. The Bible, if you go through it, you'll find out that the Lord particularly over and over again talks about taking care of the poor. And so we see the story here. We see a rich man, and evidently he was very wealthy, had much money, and he had his friends all around having a big party and so forth. And the poor guy was out here, and he was just waiting for him to get by so he could get some crumbs and eat. He was hungry, and he had no way to make a living. And according to the Word of God here, this poor man, he went to heaven, and the rich man went to hell. Lazarus went to heaven. Now you stop and you think about that. I remember here not long ago, we had a lady that's now the Speaker of the House of Representatives when Donald Trump passed that tax, preacher, you better get ready to bail me out. But when he passed that, Then some of the big companies began to give their employees get bonus checks of $1,000. And the word got out. And she went on TV and she said, I'm giving them $1,000. Says that's nothing but crumbs. Yeah. And I thought to myself, well, her living in a $3-4 million house, talking about $1,000 being crumbs, it's not crumbs to me, and I don't think it's crumbs to many of you. If I had $1,000, I'd say it's a lot more than crumbs, and I'd think that woman don't know what she's talking about. But you know, I'll never forget, in the mid '70s, I went on a Holy Land cruise. And we went to Cyprus and different places, Lebanon and so forth. And we ended up in Turkey, or we didn't end up, we ended up in Israel, but we went through Turkey and we stopped in Turkey. And I'll never forget, they made us sandwiches and everything because we wasn't coming back to the boat or the ship. We wasn't coming back to eat. So they made us sandwiches and everything. I'll never forget this, Pastor. We took off and went on our way. And then when it came time for lunch, all of us met under a big pavilion, just a concrete floor and a roof on it. That's all there was. And we were sitting down, a bunch of us sitting down, eating those sandwiches they had fixed for us that day. Never forget it as long as I live. I can see it just as plain as day. And as we were sitting there eating, I happened to look up and I noticed on one side, there was a bunch of young boys. They had wagons, they had wheelbarrows. And I was looking at them, wondering what in the world they're doing. And so I didn't pay too much attention, just kind of noticed them. And I kept eating my sandwich. And I heard a couple of Americans, you know, around me. They were saying, oh, boy, these things are stale. You know, oh, I can't eat this sandwich, you know, and so forth and so on. And so we got ready to leave. And as we left, a bunch of them went over and threw their sandwich in the garbage cans. They had big garbage cans set there. And they went and threw a bunch of them. I mean, a bunch of the people just didn't eat their sandwiches, or they took a bite or two and went and threw it away. And as we left the pavilion, all at once those boys, I turned around as we left, and those boys were rushing towards those garbage cans. And they had their little wagons and they had little wheelbarrows, and they were little boys, they weren't very big, and they rushed to those garbage cans and started going through those garbage cans, getting those old sandwiches out, and those partially eaten all the garbage that we had thrown away. And then when they got through, they began to kind of tussle with each other, trying to get the food away from each other. And I looked at that and I thought to myself, how in the world could someone sit there and eat and say, I can't eat this, when these kids were out there waiting for us to leave to fill up their wagons and wheelbarrows? That's the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. It touched me. It touched me. I never forgot it. Never will forget it. And that thing touched me. But you know something? We have a chance right here at Landmark Baptist Church. We have a chance to give away more than crumbs. You know that? If you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a chance to give away more than crumbs. I was thinking as I was preparing this message today, and I call it this: he lived on crumbs. He lived on crumbs. And Brother McMullen called me today, and we began to talk, and I said, yeah, the preacher asked me to preach tonight, and I'm going to preach on he lived on crumbs. And I'm going to take it out of that, out of the story in the book of Luke. He said, I tell you what, do, Scotty, why don't you entitle it The Crumbs of Baptist? I said, I can't do that. Can I? No, I can't do that. But anyway, he laughed about it, I laughed about it, and so forth. But let me tell you something, folks, you and I want you to stop something. We can give food to the poor. We can give bread to the poor. We can give water to the poor. We can go out and do things for the poor. And we can, listen, the Bible says, brother, we can find the people that are hungry, and we can give bread to those that are hungry. And the Lord Jesus said we can give water to those that are thirsty. You find out the Lord Jesus Christ said he's the bread of life. Not only that, he told the woman at the well, he said, I'll give you some water where you'll never thirst again. You'll never have to come back to this well. And brother, I want you to know something. We find out that the beggar ended up rich. And the rich man ended up poor.
That's right.
And we need to stop and think about this. Did you know that America gives more to missions? 80% of the missions that go, mission money that goes around the world comes out of the United States of America. And I couldn't help but think about that. But listen, they tell me that we spend more money on chewing gum and dog food than we do our missions.
Right.
I couldn't help but think about it as I was writing this down, preparing it, I couldn't help but think about our mission gauge and how the preacher at the end of every year stands up and says, now, folks, I don't know whether we're going to make it or not. I don't know whether we're going to, hey, listen, he should never have to do that.
Amen.
I mean, people should be given every week. Every week you should be given. Now, I give by the month. I don't give by the week. I give by the month. But, you know, if you can give by the week, you ought to do it. If you can give by the month, you ought to do it. And he shouldn't have to be up here saying, folks, listen, let's tighten up. Let's tighten up. Listen, we go to McDonald's, spend $10, $15, and think nothing about it. Come, do I hear any amens?
Amen.
Come on, say amen or old me.
Amen.
But we do, don't we? Now, listen, folks, when I point the finger, I'm pointing the thumb at Scotty Drake. Scotty Drake does the same thing. But I want you to know something. We should never neglect those things, because that isn't crumbs. That's not crumbs. We're talking about food. We're talking about real food. We can give people more than crumbs. Are you with me? We can give, hey, listen, every single one of us can give more than crumbs. Every single person in here can give more. Everybody can do something. God saved you to do something. He didn't save you to sit sour and soak. That's what Ravenhill said. No, sir. He saved every. Listen, he left me here for some reason.
I
don't know why. I've asked him. I said, Lord, you tell me why, and I'll do it. I'll do the best I can. But he did. He left me here for some. The doctors didn't think I was going to be here. Preacher at one time didn't think I was going to be here. My wife didn't think I was going to be here at one time. But the Lord left me here. The first thing I thought of when I woke up and couldn't stand up because all the muscles had gone out of my body, I thought, Lord, why didn't you just take me on home? But he left me here for a reason, just like he left you here for a reason. Each one of us are here for a reason, and it's not to give away crumbs. We're to give more than that. First of all, we can give them the gospel. And I want you to know the gospel's not crumbs.
Amen.
We can give it to them. We can tell people. We can tell our neighbors. We can tell our friends. We can give them more than crumbs.
Yes.
We were born sinners. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
God's word teaches us, folks. It's appointed unto man once to die, and you're going to die. And when you die, you're going to leave everything you've got.
Right.
You'll keep not one thing. The gospel is the good news, and we're to give the good news. Oh, listen, we can tell people how what the sales are at the store, but we can't tell them about Christ. Listen, the gospel is the death of Jesus Christ. He died for me. He died for sinners. I was a sinner, and I'm still a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. He died for sinners, and he was buried and put in a borrowed grave. But friend of mine, I want you to know, thanks be unto God, brother, he came out of the grave on the third day. But I got news for you. He's coming again. He's coming again. He said, I will come again. And brother, he never one time lied. No one ever pointed out a lie. And he said, I'm coming again, and he's going to come.
Yeah.
And we better be looking, watching, looking. Every day we ought to do it. Oh, listen to me. The gospel, more than crumbs. Yes, sir, more than crumbs. Listen, I want you to know something, brother. He rose from the grave and paid my sin debt. I think it was you that said this a few weeks back. He said this. He said, if I had one sin every day of my life, he said, now I would have over 29,000 accounted to me. Praise God, he paid for every sin we ever committed. I mean, every one. Oh, you say, preacher, you say you can go around sin. No, why should I go around sin? I should do my best not to sin. I should say, Lord, help me. Live for the Lord. Oh, listen to me. The gospel, the gospel is the bread of life. I mean, it's water to the thirsty. It's more than crumbs. I remember one time David McLean was a state senator, and he was a good friend of mine. And he called me one evening. It was after dark. And he called me. He said, preacher, he said, can you come over to my place? He lived over on West Shore over by the bay. And I said, there's a couple ladies here that you need. I want you to talk to. I went over to his house. I got there and I found two ladies. One of them, her husband was a head of Tampa Electric. The other one's husband, she was a Jew, and her husband had just died, and he was the owner of Pepin Distributors, which was a big beer distributing place over there. And they were both there, and she was crying because her husband had just died. And so I walked in, and that's what I got into. I talked for a little while, began to witness to them. And the lady finally told me, for the lady whose husband was head of Tampa Electric, she said she was saved. Gave me a good testimony. I looked at the Jewish lady, and I said, how about you now? Would you go to heaven if you died? She said, no. And I told her how to be saved, and she had been crying because her husband. She was still in sorrow, and she had been crying, and I told her how to be saved. I told her, and when I got through, I said, would you like to bow your head and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart? She said, yes, I would. And she did, right there, she did. And when she looked up, I said, well, praise God. Thanks, I'm going to get to see you in heaven. And she smiled, and then all at once, she looked at me, and she said, what about my husband? A Jew. What about my husband? I said, ma'am, I don't know anything about your husband. I don't know a thing about it. But I never forgot that. Never forgot it. Oh, what about my husband? Oh, listen to me, friend of mine. I want you to know the gospel. The gospel is the most important thing in the whole wide world. More than crumbs, more than crumbs. It's the bread of life. It's the living water. But not only that, we can give them more than crumbs when we obey the Great Commission. The Word of God says all nations, does it not? The Word of God says every creature. That's talking about your next door neighbor. That's talking about the person across the street. That's talking about people that you know, young people. It's talking about people that you go to school with. I want you to know something. Listen, the Great Commission is to all nations, to every creature, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it goes on and on and on. And those were the last words of the Lord Jesus telling his disciples, hey, I want you to go to all nations. I want you to go to every creature. But we see Dives was a rich man. Lazarus was a poor man. A lot of times we think it's good because we got some rich people around in the church. I want you to know God loves the poor man just as much as he does the rich man. It doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter that, whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. He doesn't care. It's not based on your color. Now, I want you to know, friends, when you tell people the gospel and when you take that gauge and you send that money out to these people that are preaching the gospel in other countries, you're doing exactly what the Bible teaches us to do. And we can do that. And that's more than crumbs, folks. Listen, that's living water. That's the bread of life. And we can do that. You can do it. I can do it. We can all do it. In fact, if we really meant business, we could probably all get that and reach it in the next month. Are you with me? We might stop on that a little more later. I remember I remember a story Dr. Robertson told. Of course, he was my Hebrew preacher. He was in his office one day, and somebody came to see him. And I remember the story distinctly because the one that came to see him, his name was John Rice. And he said, he walked in and said, "What can we do for you?" And he said, the young man looked at him and said, "Sir," he said, "I'm broke. I don't have anything. I didn't come asking for anything." He said, "I just want to know." He said, "I got saved in prison." And he said, "I just got out of prison just a few days ago, and I wondered, would you want me to be in a church like yours?" Dr. Robertson said, I looked at him and said, "Son," he said, "I'd like to have you in the church Sunday and 1,000 more just like you." Oh, listen to me, just got out of prison, had no money, had nothing. But he knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Oh, listen to me, friend. Taking the gospel to a lost and living a lost world that's on its way to hell is not crumbs. It's the gospel. Did you know the Bible teaches that one person getting saved is worth more than all the money in the world?
Yes.
It's worth all the world's got. You stop and think about that. Oh, listen, if your faith promises $5 or if it's $50 or $500, I want you to know something that's keeping somebody out of hell.
Right.
God help us to realize that. But thirdly, we can be like Christ, and that's not crumbs.
Amen.
Being just like Christ, he was our example. Be like him. He was truthful. I mean, he was always giving, and he was giving more than crumbs. Well, he gave out one crowd a few little fish and bread, and that boy ends up taking 12 baskets home.
Yeah.
Listen, the Lord allowed to give you. Did you know you're always in debt?
Yeah.
Like the preacher said this morning, the more you give, the more you get back. Brother McMillan told me, he says, I preached this morning on thimble giving. He said, I had a thimble. And he said, you know, if you give and fill up that thimble and give, then the Lord's going to give it back and fill up that thimble. But then if you get a bucket and you give a bucket full, the Lord's going to fill up that bucket to overflowing. And if you get a wash tub and you put that out there and you fill it up and you give it, the Lord's going to give it all back and he's going to fill it up. Did you know something? The more you give, the more you're in debt. You can't outgive God. If you could outgive God, the Bible's not true. You can't outgive the Lord, friend. And let me tell you something, you'll never take it easy. But I want you to think of Lazarus, a poor man. But think of a rich man, a Scrooge, stingy, greedy, no love, no burden, selfish, heartless. And we could go on and on and on. I mean a rich man that cares nothing about his neighbors. There's something wrong with people like that.
Amen.
Oh, listen to me, friend of mine. Listen, but you think of Lazarus, poor old Lazarus. All he wanted was just a little something to eat. You know, one time several years ago, I got a call. They asked me to preach a funeral. Didn't know him. Didn't know the family. Didn't know anyone. And Barbara, I think you might have went with me. I'm not sure. It was out on Nebraska Avenue. And I went there, and there was an elderly fellow that was laid out there, and there was two people in the family room. That's all that was there. There wasn't anybody in the chapel. There wasn't anybody else in the family room except the people, and that one of them was the one that called me. And I couldn't help but think, he must not have had any friends. And if the truth is known, I don't know that the rich man had any friends. Like he said, my dad used to tell me, son, when you run out of gas, your friends are gone.
Yeah.
What you said this morning, I can hear my dad now. Preacher, I can hear him. When you're out of money, son, your friends are gone.
Right.
Oh, listen to me, folks. It's not that way with Christianity. God, help us to realize, oh, can you imagine a funeral and only two people sitting in the room? Edmund Burke said, never a bigger mistake was made than one who gave nothing because it would be so little. Bernard Shaw said, the greatest sin is not hate, but indifference toward others. Last week, you heard me give this testimony about a fellow that I'd led to the Lord. His wife, I met her when I first went to Good Shepherd. It was a little old army barracks out on 301, and she was 15 years old playing the piano. And she married this guy named Buster. Now, I gave the story here before. I'm just give you a little resume because I've got something I want to tell you. But he was always giving. Never came to church, wasn't saved, never came to church, never darkened the door of the church. Sent his kids to my school, our school, Good Shepherd. And they came, they were good kids. But anything the church needed, he'd come do it. If he found out the church needed something, he'd bring his crew up, whatever it was. Been on a baseball field or whatever it was we needed, he'd do it. Never asking for a thing, never did. And had the occasion to spend a lot of time with him. And it came up one day when he opened the door for me to give him the gospel. Never forget it. I told him how to be saved, and he bowed his head and asked Christ to come into his heart. I remember driving home and walking in the door, and the phone was ringing. I picked up the phone, and it was him. It was Buster. And he was saying, "Scotty, I really got saved." And he was crying. "I really got saved." He said, "I've been calling all my friends and telling them about it. I really did get saved." And he did so much for us. He gave Brother Cliff, before he passed away, a brand new expedition. Gave another preacher over in the Tampa area a truck and a car. He's given me my last five cars. He got sick. He began to go down fast. Real fast. I'd go out and see him, and I could tell he was going down, down. And I was talking to his wife, Betty. I said, "Betty, you know what?" I said, "He was always giving." I said, "I can remember being with him at times when somebody would walk up to him, and he'd pull out money and just start handing them out money." And they began to tell me about times that during Christmas he'd go down where the poor people were eating and so forth, and he'd just throw out money out the window. Just giving, giving, giving. He was always giving. And I told her, whatever you do, Betty, I said, "If something happens, you be sure to check the truck." I said, "Now, I don't want to be a squealer or anything like that, but," I said, "be sure you check the truck." She grinned at me and she said, "Scotty's already told me." She said, "He's told me where all the money is in the truck that he hides for his pen money, $35,000. I'd say that's pretty rich. But you know something? He gave. He was always giving. I went to the funeral. I had part in the funeral last Wednesday night. The place wasn't quite this big, but I would say probably these three sections at least, it was that big. Seat well over 400. Packed out, people lined up against the wall. And I remember Brother Mike getting up and he said, "Folks, how many of you have been blessed because something Buster's done for you?" Hands went up all over the place, all over the place. And I'll never forget it. Old Mike said this. He said, "Well, one thing we can say is Buster packed out the church." Hey, listen to me. He gave. He was a giver. And you know what? You could tell it by his funeral. All the people packed out, couldn't get in, standing up, balcony full. Hey, a giver, a giver. God help us to realize that this matter of giving. And she told me this. She said, "Johnny," she said, "the last thing that I heard him say that was legible was, 'Lord, come and get me. Lord, come and get me.'" You know, they say that Mrs. Wrigley outlived her husband 25 years. Wrigley chewing gum. When he died, they had to sell the Chicago Cubs to pay the taxes at that particular time in order to keep their building of chewing gum. And she outlived him 25 years. The last 11 years, She lived in a coma. Had millions and millions of dollars and couldn't spend one penny. God help us to realize we've got something here that's not crumbs.
Amen.
We've got something more. We've got the greatest thing in all the world, salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow your head, please.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. I appreciate the message and where it took our hearts and minds to tonight. You know, when Jesus attended what we would call church, synagogue, they said he sat next to the treasure to see what the folks put in. That kind of measures how much we really believe what we say we believe. Really does, as we had our theme in Restore-a-thon, show where our treasure's at. That's where our heart will be. Tonight, maybe the Lord spoke to you. Maybe you say, you know, I could do better. In a sense, I may be giving crumbs when I could be doing a lot better. I'll tell you what, I believe what Scotty preached tonight. I don't believe you not give God. I believe, and I thank him all the time personally. And I look around and realize where he brought me from, saved me from hell. I'd be ingrate if I ever griped about anything. I remember just praying recently and saying, Lord, I really am ashamed to ask you for anything else. You ever get like that? Sometimes we ought to be just counting our blessings instead of asking for something else. We go to the Lord with a wish list all the time. And the truth is, we already got our needs. Already got them. Maybe the Lord spoke to you tonight in a special way. Might be a good time to make a commitment. Prove God. That's what the book of Malachi says about giving. It says, prove the Lord that he'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that not be able to receive it. I believe God sent us a message tonight. I sure do. Father, may you add your blessing to it now, as we do have an invitation tonight, and speak to my heart and every heart. And Father, help us not to give crumbs when we can do better. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. If there's one here tonight unsaved, I pray they'd come and let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved. But speak to our hearts as your people. We're involved, Father, in getting the gospel, the greatest thing we could give around the world, because we give to send it. Bless the invitation tonight, I pray, Father, as we sing, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.